Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
We are back with you, ready to talk some college football as our friends at Phil Steele Magazine and philsteele.com. They have been working so hard. They just put together this jam-packed double bowl issue of the Power Sweep. It provides all the best information on all the bowls, computer write-ups, and in fact, it includes all 35 bowl games. And the team we're going to zero in on, of course, right here in our backyard is TCU. And we are so delighted to welcome in Joey Lucci at Phil Steele Magazine. How are you, Joey? And you know what? I have to tell all of our listeners, a little bird shared with me that the Lucci family is expanding. It's getting a little bit bigger. I understand that you and your wife are expecting a baby. Congratulations.
I appreciate that. And not only a child, but our first child. So, like I think we talked off air to Alyssa a little bit. I'm on uncharted waters right now. So everything is just brand new to me. But it's great people like you, I consider a dear friend, and others that are going to guide me along, give me advice. I know it if I need it. And I'm super excited. And I couldn't thank for a better Christmas present come this time of year.
This is so exciting. You know, we always encourage our listeners to go and run out and grab a copy of the Phil Steele Magazine, but I'm going to encourage you to go get a copy of the book Baby Wise so you can teach that little one to sleep through the night, because it's the most wonderful thing that'll ever happen to you, but you got to get them on a schedule as quick as possible. So, okay, well, let's move ahead. Let's do a quick recap here on TCU and the Poinsettia Bowl, because the Frogs certainly, Joey, were considered heavy favorites, and Louisiana Tech was the underdog, you know, from a small conference. Who knew that it would take, you know, a fourth quarter comeback for the Frogs to, you know, walk away with a W? I mean, it was a hard-fought game.
Yeah, it was a great game, you know, in a game that a lot of people, you know, on a weekday night that normally wouldn't have a game that day. But looking at the Poinsettia Bowl, you know, TCU came out a little bit flat, as expected. I mean, let's just face it, at 10-2, maybe we're expecting a bigger and better thing. Gary Patterson got his team, you know, at halftime, did exactly what he needed to do and got that team ready to play. And plus, Louisiana Tech, not known for playing in a lot of bowls, you have to think about they must have been excited. But when I look at the second half at 10-10, you know, I don't think it is much of a closest win as possible. Yeah, the 14 points in the fourth quarter, but think about it. I mean, Louisiana Tech got their touchdown off of a muffed, you know, punt catch. You know, all they had to do was go 12 yards to get a touchdown. And then the other second half touchdown came off an interception where it looked like TCU was going to drive and maybe take the lead. So a couple of things like that. But then they showed why. I mean, look at the second half possession. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Yeah, they had that interception turnover. They did punt once. And then the last drive, they just said, you know what, we're going to just take a knee and win this game. But what I love about TCU, and I think it springboards into the Big 12, is when the game last night, when it was 24-17, if you looked at it, TCU went on an 18-play drive, took almost 9 minutes off that clock.
That's right.
Over 9 minutes. That was the TCU Frogs. They said, you know what, this is what we're going to do. So when I look at this game in the second half, I think TCU made all the right adjustments. I think Louisiana Tech, like I said, got a little fortunate to get a couple scores. And I don't look at the 7-point win as a 7-point win. I look at this more as a double-digit win and a great springboard into the Big 12 into next season. But that 18-play drive, that's TCU football. Gary Patterson, kudos to you. You know, like I said in the beginning, you expected because of all the, you know, a bowl game, a big layoff, but at halftime, TCU did what they had to do, and he was the leader of it.
Well, I'll tell you this too, Joey, never underestimate Gary Patterson and his Frogs, because they do make those remarkable comebacks. We look at even that first game of the season against Baylor. They scored 24 points in that fourth quarter, and, you know, I will say coming into this, listening to the press conference from Coach Patterson, I mean, he gave high praise for Louisiana Tech, you know, the WAC conference champions, and that they had an outstanding season and had some impressive wins this year. He never underestimates his opponents.
11-2, and your two losses were against a pretty good Baylor team, right, that we figured out, and an SMU team that's bowling as well. Let's just face it, that's a rivalry. All I got to say is one thing on TCU after this last season. I'm sure that they're happy to jump ship. They enjoyed their time in the Mountain West. The Big 12, be ready, because this team is going to come in there, and this isn't going to be a bottom feeder. This is going to be a team that's going to contend right away.
Yeah, and a big reason why is you look to the big question mark coming into this season was, and the focus, you know, how are you going to replace an Andy Dalton? Well, look no further. I mean, Casey Paul-Hall, he has shined in a very big way, and I think he's got an exciting and a very bright future.
Yeah, that's one good thing and a great point. And when you look at TCU, maybe the first couple games you thought Andy Dalton's name, but I haven't heard Andy Dalton's name since week two, and that's a good thing with TCU right now. Andy Dalton, a great quarterback, obviously starting for the Cincinnati Bengals in the NFL, but now it's time for he'll catapult this team into the Big 12, and they're going to be fine next year.
Well, let's move ahead. Let's talk about some of the other bowl games that we've got going on. Joey Lucci with Phil Steele Magazine on the Big East Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We always enjoy our conversations. Of course, for all those Longhorn fans, Texas, California in the Holiday Bowl. What do you look in this particular matchup?
Look at Texas going, you know, we're not going to take anything really for granted. We didn't bowl last year. And then I look at California. Let me tell you about these two teams, Elissa. They're both 7-5. They both did not bowl last year after 5-7 seasons. They both have head coaches that have been there over 10 years. Their last bowl win for both of them was in 09. Remember, they lost their that's the last bowl wins they've had. Or the last bowl wins they've had in 08. They both lost their bowls in 09. And now they come into this game. I think if you look at any single bowl game this year, this could be the matchup where one head coach is going to be on a major hot seat if he loses this game. You know, you want to bring your seniors out. You want to win and everything like that. When I look at Texas, they've got to get the ground game going. They're a better team when Malcolm Brown's rushing the ball. Ash McCoy going back and forth, pick one. It looks like McCoy's doing that, but he's not like his brother just yet. And if you look on the other side of California, they've got the athletes. When I look at this bowl game, it's going to come down if Texas can run the ball. If they can, they'll win. If they can't, they won't. And I'll tell you what, whoever loses this bowl game, Tedford from Cal, Mac Brown from Texas, I got to think that they're going to be talking about some, you know, maybe a little bit of a hot seat here or there, because both of these teams are coming in similar at situations here.
Okay, Joey, you hit on the Holiday Bowl between Texas and California. Now let's shift our attention to the Inside Bowl with Oklahoma, Iowa, and a homecoming of sorts when you talk about Bob Stoops, because this is where it's all happened for him. He is a native Iowan.
Yeah, absolutely, and it couldn't, you know, like I said, you look at this game, is it a disappointment for Oklahoma a little bit? I think it is. Due to the fact, you know, it is an Inside Bowl. They're probably playing for more of a BCS Bowl. But, you know, ever since Ryan Broyles went down, you know, you're going to hear it all the time. How many touchdown passes has Landry Jones threw?
Right.
Thrown for any. You know, but you know what? They took his number one target away, the guy that he relies on most. So if the Sooners are going to come in here and they're going to win this bowl game, which I think they can, and they're heavy favorites in the bowl game, you know, Kenny Stills obviously is going to have to step up in that role. I mean, Jazz Reynolds, but somebody else, maybe a Javon Miller or a Trey Franks. Somebody has to come up and, you know, take that pressure off. Plus, losing your number one running back, I know they did it by committee a little bit, but losing Whaley, that didn't help them at all. But on the other end, if you look at Iowa, Coker, their running back, their everything rusher, is not playing in this game. Okay, so he's gone for the bowl game. So now Vandenberg, their quarterback, doesn't have that. And that's huge when it comes to Landry Jones. It's huge when you need that running game. So now I think Oklahoma defensively is far more superior than Iowa. They can kind of drop back a little bit, force him to throw, not worry about the run game as much, because it will be down now that Coker's not playing. And I think Oklahoma now, with him out, this game becomes a little bit more, I don't want to say easy, but it becomes a little bit more in the winnable category than it was before. And I will say this, Elissa, Landry Jones will throw a touchdown pass in this game, and do that. And I like Oklahoma in this one now.
Well, which segues me to my next question is, if we look beyond this bowl game, what is the future for Landry Jones? Will he return to Norman, or will he declare that he wants to head to the NFL?
You know what? I think Landry Jones, personally, when I watch him, is going to be a polished quarterback in the NFL. But with the NFL quarterbacks coming out, I think he would come back for one more year, you know, and do that. And hopefully the outcome will be better than when Sam Bradford came back and was hurt. He, you know, that doesn't happen that often. And I think he needs one more year. And I think in 2 years he can be a better polished and probably make a little bit more money, be drafted higher if he does that. And I think that that's what he'll do.
And as we talk about quarterbacks, I think there is a compelling matchup between Stanford and Oklahoma State in the Fiesta Bowl. Andrew Luck against Brandon Weeden. I'm anticipating that Andrew Luck will be the number one pick in the NFL draft, as are many other people. But what do you think about this particular bowl matchup?
You know, I like this bowl matchup. There's a lot of people, you know, talking about, you know, Oklahoma State should be in the national title game and things like that. And I think when you look at this, this is a very appealing Fiesta Bowl. Brandon Weeden, what is he, like 45 years old?
That's funny.
28-year-old quarterback, that just has a guy like Justin Blackson to throw to. That right there, not taking anything away from Wheaton, but when you got Blackson there, he's making huge, you know, catches. Andrew Luck, they kind of do it by a committee. They've got, they're more of a, if you look at them, more of a pro-style offense, kind of a little bit slower, while Oklahoma State is more of your, you know, your shotgun, let it go kind of offense. Now, when you look at Oklahoma State, the big thing that I look at their schedule this year, yeah, they lost to Iowa State, but you know what? I don't want to bring it up. You know, there was a tragedy that happened prior to that.
Heartbreaking.
Those players' emotions were all out the door, and they lost in double overtime. And you got to think that the emotions of these young kids, that had something to do with it. But when you look at Texas Tech and Oklahoma, the two games prior and after, boy, did they take care of business. Outgaining Texas Tech by almost 400 yards, outgaining Oklahoma, only letting up 10 points. And I'll tell you what, I like Oklahoma State in this one, but in a shootout. I think they got a couple more bullets, so to speak, in the gun than Stanford does. But you're right on Andrew Luck. He is going to be the number one draft pick next year.
Okay, my final question for Joey Lucci at Phil Steele Magazine and Phil Steele, STEELE.com, is let's talk about this BCS National Championship, LSU, Alabama. What do you like and what intrigues you the most?
Well, I think, you know, first off, I want to go on record to say I believe that they got the national championship right. Unfortunately, for, you know, people are going to say Oklahoma State, and here's the reason why. If you do, you know, Vegas has their lines on games, and this thing's right around the pick-up. I feel that if Oklahoma State played LSU for the national championship, you're probably talking about 10-point dogs. That means, you know, LSU would have been heavily favored. So I think they did get it right. You know, it did come from the same. So you know, that debate can go on and on. But I like it. You got the two best teams in America playing each other, and that's what we want right now. When you look at this game, yeah, they did play earlier and stuff like that. I think when you look at Alabama, I think it should be make a few more field goals in this game in that aspect. And I think that they're going to play more style of their offense and use it with Trent Richardson. With that said, I think Alabama has a little bit more edge when it comes to quarterback play with McCarron over Jefferson or Lee. I think they have a major edge in the running game. I think the defense is, I think LSU has the edge there. But I think in the end, I'm going to go with Alabama winning the championship.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and I really don't think that there should be an asterisk put onto it that says, well, you know, LSU should, you know, they should have to beat LSU twice. No, this is what it is, and I think Alabama will do that based on the running of Trent Richardson. And I think that they're just going to be, you know, like I said, a little bit more. I do think it's going to be close, but I think in the end they start to pull away a little bit. So, although, I will go on record, I think LSU has the best defense in the country, bar none.
And another two teams from the SEC Conference, so no surprise there. Well, Joey, I can't believe we have blown through the college football season. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Happy holidays, and as I said at the beginning of our interview, congratulations. When is the due date?
We are looking at the end of May, but you know how it is. I mean, we're about 3.5 months into the pregnancy right now, but so the end of May, so that's what we're looking at. Only thing is we talked about having a child. My wife just said, I don't want to be pregnant during the summer months.
It might happen Mother's Day weekend. Perhaps that little Lucci will arrive early, okay?
Yeah, as long as the baby comes out healthy, and we're not going to know if it's a boy or a girl, we're going to be surprised. And that's the most important thing. I think the health of the child and that whole thing. And like I said, Alyssa, I'm just on cloud nine because experiencing this is just amazing. And every day is a new adventure.
It is the greatest thing you'll ever experience. Well, listen, Joey, blessings to you. And we look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Thank you so much for all your contributions to our show.
No problem.
We're going to step aside. Our big guy, Jason Peter, with our Under the Helmet segment, is going to be bringing us home as we get ready to wrap up this weekend show on the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back. Around here, a person is honor-bound by their word, and the way to earn a person's trust is through action. Action that reflects character, honesty, principle, and a commitment to community. We're Pinnacle Bank, and we're dedicated to serving unique banking needs and working hard to deposit back into our communities. Not because we have to, but because it's the right thing to do. Upright and loyal, that's the Texas way. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at PINNBANKTX.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Our bowl coverage continues. We have hit on the Mountain West Conference and the Big 12 Conference. We're going to shift gears and our attention as we now head out to the Big 10 Conference as Nebraska is getting ready for the Capital One Bowl versus South Carolina. First of all, Jason Peter, Merry Christmas to you and your family. I bet you've been out doing a bunch of shopping for your two little girls, haven't you?
Well, I leave that up to the wife to get the Christmas shopping. Obviously, I try to buy her gift for her, but nowadays it just seems like she tells me exactly what she wants. And in the end, even this year, I think she ended up ordering it herself. So it kind of takes the surprise aspect out of it, but less work for me.
You got to load up those girls with some sports stuff. Go get them a set of golf clubs or something, Jason. Come on.
Oh, I know. And being at Grandma's house this Christmas around all the other cousins, I'm sure there's going to be some bloody noses.
Well, listen, we're having a good time with Jason Peter this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Nebraska, 9-3 record, 5-3 in conference play. Let's take a preview of this matchup between Nebraska and South Carolina. What are your thoughts? This is the fourth meeting between these two schools.
It's going to be a good challenge, a real good challenge for Nebraska. I think that this will probably be the toughest challenge that they've had on the line of scrimmage, especially from an offensive line standpoint. I think that the defensive line that South Carolina will put on the field, in terms of edge rushers, in terms of overall speed and quickness and toughness, I don't know if there's a team from the Big Ten that can duplicate that. And even as a defense as a whole, I don't know if they'll have seen as much speed maybe from front to back than what they'll see from South Carolina. I don't want to be one of these guys that says nothing in the world can compare to SEC football, but it's hard to argue against the SEC in the last few years. They certainly, South Carolina, under Steve Spurrier, it seems that they've gotten better and better and better. And now when you look at the job with the young quarterback coming in, and he's a dual threat type guy, and those are the types of things, those are the types of players that create major problems for Bo Pelini's defenses. I think they have their work cut out for them.
Okay, now the big question I've got to ask you is your defensive coordinator, as you were just talking about defense, Carl Pelini. He has left now. He is now the head coach at Florida Atlantic. How big of an impact is that with the defense, or is it to the benefit of them?
I think it's to the benefit. I really do. Carl had control of the defense. I mean, he came here with his brother 4 years ago, and he was given the defensive coordinator position, although he had never been a coordinator, and I think it was more about it was about a paycheck. I don't think he had been ready to call a defense, and he wasn't calling the defenses for the first 3 years. It was Bo, and no matter what Bo was saying at post-game press conferences, it was Bo that was calling the defenses. And this year in 2011, he had given Carl the power of calling defenses. And I think you saw, if you watched the Nebraska game, the defense this year was not up to par. It was not symbolic of Bo Pelini's defenses since he's been here at Nebraska. And a lot of people, and myself included, think it was some of the play calling that was out there. And about halfway through the season, there was a change in the Nebraska defense. And coincidentally, we find out that Bo started to call the defenses halfway through the season. And you saw the turnaround there. And I don't want to put so much into having the perfect call out there, but guys have to be put in something of a decent position in order to make the play. And I just think he was kind of
he was out of his comfort zone there. I think Carl going to Florida Atlantic is a good move. I think he'll actually be a good head coach if he can get two good coordinators in there. He has good relationships with his players. His players like him. They play for him, but I just don't think he's a great, great X's and O type guy. And you can be a head coach, a really good head coach, and not be a great X's and O guy. It's just you have to hire other guys in the room that are good X's and O guys. You have to be a motivator if you're not a great schematic type guy. And I think Carl can be that. But I think in terms of the defense, I think with the play calling, I think they're better off with Bo calling this game. But obviously they're going to be short a coach, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, we know that Bo Pelini is a defensive guy, but who's going to fill that slot when we look into the 2012 season, Jason?
Well, there's a lot of names being thrown out. I mean, Mark Stoops was the first guy that people connected to come back to Lincoln, or not come back, but to come back and coach for under Bo. But yeah, that was kind of a Band-Aid type deal. I mean, a guy like that, he's not going to stick around for 6, 7, 8 years. And I don't know if any coordinator will at this point. I think the money is too good at the head coaching position, and I think most guys nowadays are striving to be head coaches, where that wasn't always the case 10, 15 years ago. But now, with the money that's being made, I think most guys do. But the latest name that we're hearing is a defensive line coach from Iowa who resigned from his job a few days ago. Rick Kaczynski is his name. He was a player at Notre Dame, an offensive lineman, I believe, and he's coaching the defensive line. And he's had some successful players there, but he's the latest guy that we're hearing about maybe filling that defensive line position here at Nebraska.
Okay, at the end of the season, there's always rumors that are swirling around, and I'm just curious, I have to throw this out and ask you, Jason, what about Bo Pelini? I mean, is he there to stay in Lincoln? I mean, he's one of the top paid head coaches nationally. He's in the top 15 list, but is he interviewing at other schools in the off season?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because there was just a lot of talk that Penn State had just interviewed Bo Pelini a week ago, and Bo has come out and he's denied it, but there seems to be credible source. I believe Ron Musselman from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported that the athletic director, or the acting athletic director at Penn State, David Joyner, had interviewed Bo Pelini in Texas somewhere this past week. And it's just an odd thing for the athletic director to come out and say that I interviewed a current head coach in the Big Ten if he didn't really interview him. I mean,
right,
there's nothing to really gain by either side by saying that. Now, for Bo, I don't know. You know, his name has been mentioned in the last few years. There was a lot of talk about the Miami job. There was, when that was open a year ago, there was talk even when Tim Tressel was relieved of his duties at Ohio State, because Bo is an Ohio State alum. And there have been a lot of jobs that his name has come up for. But he's come out and he said that you know, he's staying. But I don't know. I don't know how much Bo is in love with the head job at Nebraska. I think he loves a lot of things about the job, but I also think he hates a lot of things about the job. In particular, he hates the media. He hates the fact that Nebraska fans are, you know, there's 85,000 coaches sitting in the stands every Saturday. He doesn't like to be questioned on anything that he does. And let's face it, I mean, that's what makes Nebraska great. Without those types of fans, without that type of interest in the program, then you just have every other ordinary program out there that if you went 9-3 in your regular season, chances are you wouldn't have almost 300 consecutive sellouts still at your stadium. Nebraska fans stick through it, thick or thin, and I think he's got to realize that, and you know, he kind of has to get rid of this, the grass is always greener on the other side, because if you think you're going to go to LSU or you're going to go to an SEC school and the fans aren't going to be as fanatic about their team down there, you're crazy, and that's the odd thing, because he's coached at Oklahoma, he's coached at LSU, he knows what it's like, I think, in other fan bases. But I also know that the times that he spent at those schools, they were competing for national championships. So maybe there wasn't as much scrutiny. Well, Nebraska fans, they're salivating because they want to be back in that conversation. They're demanding that this team starts to play for conference championships and national championships yearly, and it's just not happening yet.
Well, and you have to wonder just how much longer the fan base, those Cornhusker fan base, is going to be willing to be patient. I mean, they're smart, they're loyal, and they're definitely dialed into what is going on with the Cornhusker program. Jason, we are flat out of time, and we certainly appreciate you stopping by, and we'll look forward to doing it all over again next week. Blessings to you, Jason.
Well, thanks for having me. Merry Christmas.
You bet. Merry Christmas, and we'll be right back with much, much more here in just a moment.